My mocha latte.
Wait there. In San Francisco.
This week we visit the capital of sourdough bread, San Francisco, and sit down with filmmaker and cappuccino lover extraordinaire Amy Ferraris, as well as checking out one of the most exciting coffee scenes on the West Coast. And also, as usual, a new song from Mod Dog, all coming up next. Best mocha latte in the world. This is your host, Circus Boy Nathan, coming to you from the Flying Dutchman RV. This is my podcast where each week or month I come to you from a different town on the road with the circus. That's right, the circus is my day job, but I have a passion for coffee. And this week, I'm going to be talking about San Francisco and my visit there, except that I'm in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Kind of the opposite side of the world from, well, opposite side of the country from San Francisco. But it's cool to reminisce about it nonetheless. Actually, it kind of makes me wish I were in San Francisco right now because the coffee scene here in Fayetteville isn't so hopping per se. But I have some coffee with me right here in the Flying Dutchman. I'm going to take a sip, make you all jealous that yes, that is tasty coffee. Fresh roasted, fresh brewed, right here. Actually, in case some of you, I'm sure some of you don't know, I roast here in my RV and serve it to my fellow circus people, members on the show. And I have an espresso stand backstage and I call it circus coffee. So if you want to see what circus people look like drinking coffee, you can go to my website that I made for circuscoffee.com. That's... you'll probably get a kick out of it. And there's some good articles over there that I wrote for a food website, WC Dish, that I write for in Philadelphia. So some coffee stuff. You know, just preliminary coffee stuff. But anyways, more to the point. San Francisco. Ugh, I love San Francisco. From when I'm recording this now to when the interview was, it was quite a while ago. I'm not sure chronologically how long ago, but it was a while, and I have not had the opportunity to be back since, but I would love to go back, because I have lots of good memories. While I was there, got to try some amazing coffee, got to visit my friend Willem Boot, the coffee taster, coffee consultant that I'm sure you remember from a few podcasts back in Hawaii. So I got to see his tasting lab and all his coffee goodies, which made me very jealous because I don't have any roasters or espresso machines anything near what Willem does. But then again, it's his profession, so he can have nice things in the coffee realm. But yeah, I got to visit Willem and his coffee lair there in San Francisco, and got to hang out with a coffee farmer that was visiting him that day, and actually two coffee farmers, and then got to meet up with Amy Ferraris. Now, if you guys don't know Amy or haven't met Amy before, you guys are in for a treat. She is a wonderful person, a lot of fun to talk to, really into coffee, really informed about just, you know, coffee culture and things in general. In fact, she's made a movie about it, which you're going to hear about in a few minutes. So we got to sit down, we had some coffee, and we found a little park there in a little corner neighborhood of San Francisco, and we talked about all things coffee, the future of coffee, and some things that didn't quite have to do with coffee. But it was a good time all around, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So I'm going to send you over to the interview, and when you come back, I'm going to give you the coffee scene in San Francisco, the shops that I visited there, and my impressions. And we'll leave you with a Mod Dog song to cap it off today. So here's the interview with Amy. Enjoy. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and coffee drinkers and podcast listeners around the world. Welcome to San Francisco, Coffee City, and home of world famous
Blue Bottle Ritual.
No, I was going to say your name, oh. Amy Ferraris.
Amy Ferraris.
Good job, Amy. You messed it up.
Sorry.
I was trying to give you a nice intro.
I needed some direction beforehand. Yes, home of Amy Ferraris, world famous.
Okay. Well, yes, yes. So I'm sitting here. We're sitting in a park. I have no idea what the name of the... Do you know what the name of the park
is? You know, I always call it Octavia Park because it is what used to be Octavia Street. And it's gotten kind of covered over with a little park. So, but I don't know if that's the real name.
A park and bizarre sculptures.
Right, right. We've got a big homunculus looking thing over here.
Is it human? I mean, it's a quadruped, or is it? It looks humanoid, yeah. Kind of.
It does. It looks like part human, part monkey, because it's got the long arms.
Part flower.
Right, with a flower for a head.
Yeah.
I think it's a temporary sculpture because it wasn't here the last time I was down here.
Okay, okay. Well, just to give you all an idea of where we're sitting, we're here in downtown. I guess this would be considered downtown San Francisco.
We're very close to the Civic Center, but this is Hayes Valley, basically. That's what this neighborhood is called, Hayes Valley.
Okay. In case you haven't noticed, Amy's the local and I'm the out-of-towner, so she can give you the official names. And hey, doggies. We have local dogs. I think are those dachshunds?
Yeah, we got some dachshunds and looks like a Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, I like dogs.
Okay. one of her many, besides coffee.
Besides coffee, I also like dogs. That's true.
Do you like dogs who drink coffee?
I don't know any dogs that drink coffee.
Oh, well, maybe they exist.
Yeah, we'll have to work on that one.
If dogs drink beer, I'm sure they drink coffee.
Yeah, I'm sure they would if given the chance.
Yeah. So we're here in downtown San Francisco, Hayes Valley, sitting in this wonderful little park. I'd say it's only maybe about 150 yards long, but maybe about, I don't know, 50 yards wide. And it's a sunny evening. The sun's setting. It's a cool day in San Francisco. And there's some children playing at one end of the park and some local people discussing maybe world peace at the other end of the park. And we just got back from tasting coffee at
Blue Bottle.
There you go. You followed that
world
one much
famous.
Better.
World famous. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we went to this little place, hole in the wall. Kind of, I guess you would say it's hole in the wall, Blue Bottle. Mm-hmm. And there's two of them. And I had an amazing mocha with a local... a local artisan chocolate in there. And what did you get, Amy?
I had the New Orleans style iced coffee, which I had never had before.
Right. It had like it was supposed to have like a chicory flavor.
Yeah, it was cold brewed coffee with chicory and then some milk.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a taste of it. And so we're out and about here tasting coffee. And I'm here with Amy, and I met Amy through, well, she also has a passion. Well, maybe you should describe your passion.
I have a passion for the cappuccino.
Well said. Yeah. Well said.
Yeah.
So a person
the
who...
short answer.
Yes. So a person who understands the search. And where has the search taken you? Where all around the world?
Well, Italy is a big... part of where it's taken me. That's definitely where it started. And then it has taken me to a few different places around America, during which time I made a film about it, or a documentary film about it. But yeah, it's taken me all over California for sure, and somewhat a couple different places in the Midwest, most notably Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yep.
A few places on the East Coast, North Carolina, Philadelphia, and Texas, oddly. Took me to Texas.
Really? Where did you visit in Texas?
Well, I went to Texas to interview a couple people, one of whom is a cultural critic who lives in Dallas, and the other of whom was a former Starbucks marketing executive who now lives in Austin.
Okay.
So that was why I went to Texas, although I found some good coffee there while I was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So the cappuccino, what drew you, say, to a cappuccino from espresso? Well, first off, describe what Italian, in the Italian tradition, what a cappuccino is for those people listening.
In the Italian tradition, a cappuccino is a single shot of espresso served in usually about a 5 or 6 ounce porcelain cup with foamed milk that is a kind of this magical consistency that's not too liquidy but not too stiff either, that is really kind of, it looks like melted ice cream, like it looks like melted ice cream, but is a little more airy than that.
Right.
It's kind of this magical, strange texture that's like dense and heavy and fatty and light and airy at the same time. It's delicious.
Okay. Now, how did you come to the point of craving a cappuccino from just, say, black coffee?
Well, I never drank black coffee. I learned to like coffee in Italy because I studied abroad in Italy. Uh-huh. A little bit in high school and then in college, and so I never drank drip coffee. Like when I was younger, I would smell it and just think it smelled awful. I was like, I never want to drink that. I think it's interesting that you're a mocha lover, because that's what I started drinking mochas, because I grew up here in San Francisco, and there were, you know, there's tons of coffee shops here, and they all served espresso. Yeah. And so I would go and get a mocha, mostly as a way of avoiding the taste of coffee. I'm sorry to say. I am embarrassed to admit.
We'll forgive you on that. Yeah,
I would get a mocha and, like, dump sugar in it and be with my little high school girlfriends and sit at the coffee shop and talk, you know. So it was more like the social experience. So that was my introduction to coffee. But then I didn't start enjoying the flavor of coffee until I went to Italy and had espresso.
Huh.
And so I didn't, it wasn't like I decided I liked it better than drip coffee, because in Italy, espresso is just coffee. Like, that's all there is.
You order a cafe and that's...
You get espresso. They're synonymous, like... Which is why, actually, to this day, I still often refer to espresso just as coffee.
Right.
And people get confused. Yeah. In America, people are like, what are you talking about? But in Italy, coffee is espresso. So that was how that started, was I lived there for a while and just got in the habit. And then when I came back, I was like, oh, great. You know, I have this new thing that I love. And I started going to more coffee shops and ordering cappuccinos and just being like, devastated by how awful they were, you know, like not even close. Like you have pizza in Italy and you come back to America and like, yeah, the pizza's not as good, but it's still pizza and it still tastes good. But like with a cappuccino, there was just like no comparison. Like it was so much worse. And I think that's why I got really obsessed, was because I couldn't find it. And I wouldn't have thought it would be that hard, you know, like I wouldn't have thought it would be that impossible to find a good cappuccino here. So, so then, you know, you always obsess over what you can't have.
Oh, sure. It's human nature. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I just got really obsessed and I would start trying them everywhere and searching and trying to find the best ones and trying to figure out why it wasn't as good. And, well, what's the difference? Was it the coffee? Was it the milk? Was it the machines? Was it the water? Was it the barista? What was it? Like, what was making the difference? Yeah. And that was kind of where my film came out of, and kind of, and all of this was happening in the 90s. So what was simultaneously occurring in America was the explosion of Starbucks.
Right, yeah.
So not only was it like, I can't find a good cappuccino, it was like, oh, America's trying to do the cappuccino, right. But they're doing it in like this like mass-produced national chain kind of a way. And isn't that interesting? Yeah. So,
huh. Yeah. And what kind of conclusions, I mean, I know we're drawing like on a broad sense, but like, what kind of things did you find? Like, why can't, you know, in general, why aren't the American cappuccinos on par with something you could get on almost any street corner in Italy?
Well, first I should say that in the many years that I've been searching, the American coffee landscape has changed tremendously. Yeah. And now you actually can get pretty good, you know, you can get good cappuccinos. And in fact, like a few weeks ago, I had the experience of being in this, I was in this teeny town outside of San Luis Obispo, California, called Avila Beach, which is like a tiny, tiny little town. And it's a little beach town. And we were sitting on the beach and I said to my boyfriend, like, let's go up and get whatever shit coffee is right by the boardwalk. I'm sure it's going to suck. And like, we walked up there and like, I walked into this coffee shop and like, they had like a really nice, you know, like a real machine. And I was like, oh, it wasn't like a super auto. And I was like, oh. And I looked at their menu board and it said traditional cappuccino on the menu board. And I was like, oh. And I ordered a cappuccino.
Were you afraid?
I was a little afraid. But then I saw like behind their counter, they had signs posted that they had sourced their beans from Intelligentsia and from Ritual Coffee Roasters. And I was like, oh.
Huh.
So it was like a total like third wave establishment. Yeah. And I ordered a cappuccino and it was delicious. Uh-huh. It was amazing. And it was in this like little random town that doesn't have a very large population at all. Huh. You know, and it was called Joe Mama's was the name of the cafe. And like, you know, that kind of thing happens more and more often now than it used to. I mean, I would imagine you have similar experiences with looking for mochas.
Well, actually, it's been kind of depressing.
Yeah.
Looking for mochas. Because, well, from my experience, like to sum it up, I'd say a majority of shops that open are people that want to capitalize on the coffee craze.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're looking to start a business, and the coffee thing seems like a fun thing, you know, and they may, you know, a lot of people go into wanting to create a community atmosphere and create a space, which they do successfully, but the coffee usually gets the least amount of attention, you know,
right,
on their list of, you know, things. You know, they'll put more money and time and energy into the decor and then,
right,
you know, like training themselves or the baristas, which is sad because ultimately your coffee is what's going to sell your shop, you know.
Right.
I mean, if you had the, you know, most palatial, you know, coffee shop in the world, but you know, you can't stomach the stuff that you drink in that place, it's still going to
right, there won't know. Be too much loyalty.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah.
To a place like that.
So I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to hear, you know, because a lot of people that usually only have, you know, their local, I guess, influence as far as their own local coffee culture. But obviously you've traveled and, you know, you've sought out for your movie, done actual research. And that's why I find it very interesting to get your perspective on, you know, the cappuccino and kind of, you know, where that the American cafe culture, you know, was and is going, you know, as far as that. I mean, based on what you've seen, you know, through your progression in coffee and the way America is changing, where would you say it'll be in 5 years or maybe even 10?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think I live in constant fear that what's happening right now, like the really exciting stuff that's happening right now, will turn out to be like a bubble and it's going to die and go away, or that all these people who are, you know, 28 and really enthusiastic and love coffee and are just like opening these awesome shops across the country, you know, that 5 years from now, they're all going to be like, oh, I think I want to, to have babies and buy a house, and I don't feel like running a coffee shop anymore. Right. Like, you know, like, I'm afraid. Like, I'm after, like, my many, like, years of, like, the dark ages of bad coffee, like, yeah. I'm afraid that this is going to be a fad and, like, go away. But every month that passes, the more places open up, and there's this, like, really lively online community of people who are sharing information and kind of
right.
able to kind of help each other out across, you know, great geographical distances yeah. that I'm kind of, like, I'm encouraged. Like, I feel like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe things are just going to continue to get better. And maybe we've gotten to a point of kind of acceptance of, you know, that coffee shops are a part, should be a part of the landscape of every town. And that the next step after that is to start discerning and to start caring a little bit more about coffee quality and even caring a little bit more about the quality of where you're sitting and, like, yeah. the place that you're hanging out. And
Do you think the more electronic our culture becomes, as far as, you know, cell phone, instant messaging, the less human contact we have because of our technology, do you think the more that we will crave that third place, or, you know, kind of a cafe culture?
I think so. I think I don't know if it'll make us crave it more, but I definitely have this idea that it makes us appreciate it when we find it. Like, I don't think I totally understood the value of, like, that, like, cafe interaction until I had enough crappy internet interaction. You know
right,
what I mean? Like,
right.
people are assholes on the internet, you know? like, people will, quote-unquote, say something really rude to a stranger on an internet discussion board
right.
in a way that they never would if they were sitting face-to-face.
Yeah.
And, like, experiencing enough of that makes you kind of realize, like, oh, yeah, when you have an interaction with a stranger in public, like, in real life, face-to-face, it's different, and it's
right.
valuable, and it's fun. And,
right.
like, I also think that environmentally and with population growth, like, there's this trend towards urbanization right now in America. Like, I think the suburbanization might have peaked, and we might be moving back into urban spaces being the desirable places to live. And
yeah.
I think that is only good for coffee house culture and kind of third place
yeah.
culture, you know?
Because in Europe, where the cafes are kind of really the social place, well, I mean, I guess in some places you have, like, the pubs, of course, you
mm-hmm.
know, like in England, but, like, I'm thinking more, like, you know, Italy and you know, even, I don't know, Scandinavia or
mm-hmm.
Germany. I mean, you always had the pubs, but then you had the coffee places, too, and a lot of those towns still have, like, the old town centers. They have a tradition of, you know, the evening stroll, like,
right.
going out and walking. And
yeah.
I think they have that, you know, that kind of more, you know, human contact, you know, the communal atmosphere, which it'll be interesting to see if in the next 10 years, you know, that kind of grows with the urban renewal that you're talking about.
I hope it does. Like, I selfishly really hope it does, because I just think there's no replacement for that. There's no replacement for the casual interaction with other people.
Uh-huh.
Like, we all go to work, we all have our intimate relationships with family or friends or whatever, but, like,
right.
that kind of, like, the chit-chat with the lady sitting next to you on the bus, or, like, the person standing next to you in line at the coffee shop, like, there's no replacement for that. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm unusual, but I love it. Like, I value it
huh.
tremendously, you know?
Yeah.
And I hope everyone else will, too.
Do you think that's an American thing, to just kind of look straight ahead and avoid everyone around you?
I don't know. I don't know if it's American. I mean, I definitely see it happening here in America. And I definitely think we have higher kind of requirements of personal space, you know? Like, when I travel in foreign countries,
yeah.
like, it's often the case that people just stand closer together
right, yeah.
than we do. And I think that Americans are really diligent about getting in line. Like, we always want to know where the line is so we can get in it.
And then cut and line.
We're not cutters. We are not cutters.
Hey, I don't know.
The cutters?
The California drivers are.
Oh, well, yeah. Driving is different. Again, driving is different because you don't have to look the person in the eye,
that's,
you know?
Yeah, that's true.
You can be an asshole when you're driving. But, like, I don't know. My big reference point is Italy. And, like, in Italy, everyone's a cutter. Like, yeah. Lines are kind of general suggestions, but really it's every man for himself. And
right.
No harm, no foul. It's fine. Like, everybody cuts and it's fine. But in America, like, we're serious about getting in line.
Yeah.
Like, we line up.
If you cut, that's like fighting, you know, fighting.
Yeah, cutting is like is bad in America.
Yeah.
And this was the thing. I mean, this is why I was so interested in the Intelligentsia shop in L.A. when they opened up, because they didn't have order. You know, like, they didn't have, like...
It's not like an amusement park queue, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you go into some coffee shops and they literally have the, like, you know...
The cattle chutes.
Yeah, like, it's like going to the airport. Like, you have the barriers and you go through the maze of the line to order your coffee. And
yeah.
That's such a bummer, man. I loved that Intelligentsia didn't have that. But still, people spontaneously make a line there.
Yeah, the cafe that she's talking about is Intelligentsia's new L.A. Location, which is in Silver Lake, right outside of Hollywood there. And it's a beautiful location. They have basically, there is no queue, and the cash register is actually sunk into the counter. So it's just more of, you know, you kind of walk up and there's more, you know, personal interaction, and the counter is not, you know, like chest high. The counter is at your waist, and so you can watch the barista making your drink, you know, doing their craft and making your drink, and so you can see everything that's going on. And it's a very, I don't know what the right word, I guess kind of open and transparent kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, well, you walk in and the first thing that is right in front of you is the espresso machine with the barista standing on the other side facing you. So it's like you just walk in, walk right up to the machine and start talking to the barista. Like,
yeah.
That's what the focus should be, I
yeah.
think, of any coffee bar, you
yeah.
know?
It caught me off guard at first, because I was like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and that's it makes you think, like, we're so used to, like, I have to go to the cash register and stand in line.
Yeah, that's
what
we're conditioned.
And then you walk in there, and you're like, where's the cash register? Where's the line? Where do I go? What am I supposed to do right now? You
know? Who am I? Where am I? What do I want to drink?
Yeah, it causes a whole, like, existential crisis. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you get a mocha there?
Yes, I did.
How was it? I've never had a mocha.
It was excellent. I have a picture of it on my Flickr site, so if any listening want to see what it looked like, go to my Flickr site and click on the LA trip.
What chocolate do they use?
They source their own chocolate, and they actually make, I believe it's a powder, and then they make the mixture with, I think they use like whole milk or something like that, and I believe they had it sitting on top of the machine to keep it warm. And so that's what they use. And I've noticed some other cafes as well using Intelligentsia's chocolate as the chocolate for their mochas. So.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they source their own chocolate and then their own teas as well, I've found. But it was very nice. I also had one from their shop in Chicago, one of their shops there. And it was a very good mocha, very nice mocha. Yeah.
What's the best mocha you've ever had? Maybe your listeners already know this.
They probably don't, because no one asks me.
Oh, I want to know. See, you can tell I'm an interviewer, too.
we're interview each other.
Yeah.
That's a tough question, because I usually also get, if it's a really good mocha, I'll also get a double espresso to taste what I was tasting in the mocha, but just by itself.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say among the best I've had are obviously, I'd say the usual suspects, which are, you know, Murky, Coffee in D.C., Intelli in Chicago and L.A. Vivace had a nice mocha. Let's see, who else stands out? There's one in Taos, New Mexico, that surprised me, because Taos, you know, they have a couple coffee shops, but there's one place called World Cup Espresso, and they had three styles of mochas that you could order, and so they actually had a selection. And I think they use Guittard chocolate, and it was a very decent mocha. Yeah, that one surprised me. Cafe Lux was good in L.A. Man, those are the ones I just think off the top of my head. I'm trying to think of some more. There's in Atlanta, Octane was very nice. I've been there about half a dozen times now. Every time I go back, I stop in to taste it, and I usually like to see if it was a fluke, or if it was. You know, because if they have, I think you wrote about in your blog one time that, you know, if it's different baristas working, right, you usually expect it to be kind of like what you said, like the B team or the D team.
Totally.
working the bar.
Yeah, totally.
If it's not peak hours. Yeah.
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 Which way are you driving back to?
I think I'm going to go down close to LA and across to Arizona.
I tried this new-ish place in Santa Cruz recently called Verve Coffee Roasters, and they were awesome. They were great.
Huh.
So if you happen to go through Santa Cruz.
Okay.
And then you could go to Barefoot.
Yeah.
In Santa Clara.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about them. Yeah. Yeah, Amy was my information source last summer when I did the LA trip. Went down there. She gave me like five really solid recommendations of places in and around LA. And I have to say that shot of espresso at Cafe Lux is probably one of the best I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. It's funny, I'm interested to hear your opinions, because I don't usually get mochas at these places.
Oh, really?
I'm embarrassed to admit, like, mocha for me is still, like, the safety drink.
Yeah.
When I'm pretty sure the espresso is going to be bad, but, like, I feel like having an espresso drink anyway, and I need to cover it up with something, I get a mocha. I feel bad saying that on your podcast, that I don't appropriately respect the mocha.
Well, I think it's because most people who make it don't respect it either. Yeah. And so you are right in that most people, they default to the sugary chocolate drink. You know, it's closer to chocolate milk than it is to, you know, espresso drink. And, you know, and I've talked to different cafe owners, and a lot of them say that, you know, that's what sells, so that's what they make. And, you know, and I can understand that, but I don't know. In my opinion, I think the perfect mocha is, you know, like that dark chocolate, and then it's a perfect blend of the texture with the milk, and then all three ingredients, the milk, the chocolate, and espresso, all have kind of like that magic interaction to where, you know, it just creates an amazing, you know, I don't know if you want to call it a symphony or, you know, whatever, and when you drink it, it tastes, and it has a good aftertaste, too.
That's a big one, yeah.
Yeah. So that's my mocha thing. If you go to bestmochalatte.blogspot.com, you'll see my criteria of why I choose a mocha for cafes, and why I use it kind of as a yardstick on there. And yes, I do call it a mocha latte, even though some people say it's a mocha or a cafe mocha or whatever, but I won't go into nomenclature.
Yeah. That's fine. Call it what you want, you know.
So cool. Well, tell, before we sign off here, tell everyone a little bit about your movie, your websites, and all the info, and where they can find your movie.
Yeah, upcoming. So the title of the film is The Perfect Cappuccino. Uh-huh. You can find out about it at cappuccinomovie.com.
Nice.
And cappuccino is cappuccino.
Double P, double C.
Double P, double C.
Oh, we have a dog fight.
We got a dog fight breaking out. And we also have...
Are those legal here?
No, I don't know.
So that's an illegal dog fight happening?
Yeah, totally. This is a real underground dog fight spot here, apparently.
Out in the public park.
Yeah.
Are we going to get arrested?
Well, we've also got a gentleman over here with a bird.
We'll get a parrot. Yeah.
Do
you think we can get the parrot on the podcast?
Maybe. Is that a parrot? I can't tell from this distance.
Or is it a parakeet?
Or a parakeet.
I don't know my exotic birds.
Me either. Birds kind of gross me out.
Why?
I don't know. They seem dirty to me.
Because they molt?
I don't know why. They just seem dirty. Maybe it's the pigeon. I have all these associations with, like, city birds, like pigeons and seagulls, which just, yeah. Ugh.
Those country birds, I hear they're pretty clean. Cleaner than those city birds.
They probably are. I'm being irrationally prejudiced against birds.
All my bird listeners are going to write into me now. They're going to say, screw that Amy person. She hates us. Last time we listened to your podcast.
I have a lot of irrational dislikes, I'm sure.
You can write to anti-aviary listening at best. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
So your movie.
So the movie, so it's cappuccinomovie.com. There's the movie is going to have its festival premiere probably in about a month. And then it will be released on DVD later this year. I would say if anyone is interested in seeing it and kind of getting updates very rarely but occasionally, they should go to the website and sign up on the mailing list, because I will send out emails just saying, you know, like if it ever gets on Netflix, I'll send out an email. Like if it, you know, I'll send out an email a couple times a year. I'm not a big spammer. So don't fear. You could also watch a trailer at the website. Yep. There's a link to my blog. And there's also, I have a page on Facebook. So similar thing. Like if you're interested in kind of keeping track of what's going on with the film, you can do a search for Perfect Cappuccino on Facebook if you're on Facebook and become a fan. And then you can find out things. You can there's some of the film's music on Facebook page if you want to listen to some of the score.
Okay. For some contemplative coffee listening.
Yeah, well, the composer of the score for the film is a guy named Gordy Haab, who's a regular at Intelligentsia in LA, by the way.
Okay.
He lives right up the street from there. He actually invented a musical instrument out of coffee cups.
Really?
For this film score. And so I put some sample recordings on there.
So you're the world premiere for this new instrument.
Yeah, it's called, we named it the Espresso Phone.
The Espresso Phone.
It kind of sounds like a xylophone, but it's a little more clinky because it's coffee cups, you know?
Okay.
But he took these coffee cups and he suspended them upside down over water and then sucked air out of them with a little like bulb syringe to tune them, and then he played on them with like xylophone mallets. So he like tuned a full scale of coffee cups in this huge tub of water, and yeah, it was awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to go check that out.
Yeah,
very nice.
Yeah, since you're a musician,
yeah,
check it out.
That'd be fun. I may have to do something like that with my trumpet.
Yeah.
See if I can call it, I don't know what I'll call it, but maybe the trumpet.
Modify it, put a coffee cup on the.
I wonder if I could resonate the trumpet sound through a vat of coffee, how that would sound.
I don't know.
Use the coffee as the resonating medium for
right.
the.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Oh, dang. All right.
But so, yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. It's been nice hanging out in San Francisco. Yeah. I got to check out some of those. What's the big food here? The sourdough hamburger?
Sourdough bread.
Sourdough bread?
Yeah.
Is there like some kind of sandwich or something? Or?
No, it's really just the bread.
Just the bread?
Yeah, or like you could get clam chowder in a sourdough bowl.
Oh, yeah, I heard.
Actually, if you want clam chowder, you need to go to the ferry building. Remember I was telling you about the ferry building? And go to Hog Island Oyster Company.
Hog Island, okay.
And have a bowl of clam chowder. Look at the bay. It's delicious. It's the best clam chowder in the city, for sure.
So if you come to San Francisco, the world-famous Amy Ferraris recommends
Hog Island Oyster Company.
Hog Island Oyster Company. Yes, yes. Very good. And what's your favorite coffee place in San Francisco?
Ooh, I don't have a favorite. I kind of have three favorites.
Okay, we'll give you three.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Because that would be very impolitic of me to just say one.
You already slammed the birds, so we won't want to get any coffee shops on our case.
I gotta play it cool for the rest of the podcast. My big three are Ritual Coffee Roasters, Blue Bottle, and the newly almost opened but not quite Four Barrel Coffee Company.
Yeah, which if you're in San Francisco, probably in the next month or so, they're actually serving coffee out of their back door in an alley. It's like it's like speakeasy espresso. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen in all my coffee searching. It's awesome. It's like you don't know, they just had this like little wooden board out at the street that has a little coffee cup with an arrow, like the size of your fist. It's only that big, and so you don't know about it unless someone tells you about it. Well, thank you, Amy, for coming on the
Thanks for having me.
Podcast. And if you want to get a hold of Amy, check out Cappuccino Movie, CCC and Cappuccino. Cappuccino Movie?
CappuccinoMovie.com.
And you can reach her through there, her blog, links, and all that kind of stuff there.
Sure, I'm going to blog about you, so.
Oh, great.
So tell your listeners to check my blog.
All right, we better go. They're coming to arrest us. They found us. We better go. Okay, bye. All right, welcome back. So I'm going to jump right into the San Francisco coffee scene. Now, I have three places. I did visit more than those three, but a few, like, for example, the Four Barrel, as I mentioned earlier, wasn't even open yet, so they didn't even have mocha lattes. They just had espresso. And there was another place I tried in, I think it was in Berkeley there, another coffee shop, and I just got, I believe it was a latte, when I was hanging out with Willem Boot there. So the three places, the first one is the Blue Bottle Kiosk, and that was literally right around the corner from the park that we were sitting in. And it's a little kiosk. The design, they put a lot of thought into the design and the location and so forth. So just a really cool place. No place to sit down, just a grab and go kind of little place there on the side of a building. And I wrote about the drink here. What a great introduction to the San Francisco coffee scene. Served auto to go cup, but it was a kiosk after all. They had beautiful latte art. The drink had nice mouthfeel and used local artisan chocolate. Only issue was the chocolate was a little too heavy in the balance and covered the espresso. Otherwise, it was awesome. I gave it 4.7 beans. And like I said, the chocolate actually was a local artisan chocolate. As you know, San Francisco is known for, probably best known for Ghirardelli's chocolate. The guy, I believe his name was Michael Ricciuti, if I pronounced that wrong, I'm sorry, but, he was the chocolate, and, from what they told me, he actually, designed a blend of chocolate to fit with their, with Blue Bottle's espresso, which is, to me, that's really impressive. In all of my mocha lattes many hundreds that I've had, that I've never encountered that before. So that's a first for me, and that's really cool to see there at Blue Bottle. So I was very impressed. Next up is Ritual Coffee Roasters, and they're located in the Mission District of San Francisco, and a cool little shop, very, very busy. The whole time I was there, there was at least some form of a line, and they actually roast in-house. The roaster is right there. You can see it and hear it while you're sitting, typing emails and so forth, but cool vibe, cool people, great coffee. Just, real busy and knocking out the drinks. So the mocha latte I wrote here, not a bad drink, but not amazing either. Served in-house cup, beautiful latte art, pretty good mouthfeel, okay chocolate. The espresso was a little sharp in the drink, but okay overall. I would definitely give it another try. So 4.4 beans on that one. Next up and last is the Blue Bottle Main Cafe. Now, this is right downtown. A lot of business clientele actually just coming in for their morning espressos and then going on their way. So I was there in the morning time and had a great drink. I wrote about the mocha latte. This drink made my morning. Served in-house cup, beautiful latte art. The balance was a little better than at the kiosk. The beautiful foam and the espresso that came through the mix fit well. would definitely drink again. And another thing, 4.8 beans on that one, 4.8. And another thing to mention about the Blue Bottle there in San Francisco is that they have a siphon bar. Now, if you don't know what a siphon brewer, coffee brewer is, go Google it. You'll see a lot of articles and news things and so forth. And actually, Blue Bottle was featured in a New York Times article as, I think, one of the first U.S. coffee bars to feature a siphon coffee bar in-house, and the expense of it was kind of like the gist of that article. But very cool place, good design, simple, clean. All the baristas, one thing that impressed me, the baristas all were dressed up either in black or kind of like ties and vests, and similar to what Intelligentsia Venice Beach, their location there, what they sport. So yeah, very cool place. And the coffee scene in general, I mean, since I was there, it's probably been, what, a year, year and a half now, is just exploded. Like, there's, I think, two or three other cafes that have opened since then, like high-end cafes, doing really good coffee. So I look forward to going back there. And speaking of good coffee, next week we are going to have a guy on the show who roasts coffee with a wood fire. As some of you, or maybe most of you, don't know, most coffee is roasted. The roasters use gas, propane gas, and this guy uses wood fire to roast his coffee. And the only other place I know in the world that I've seen that sells commercially is St. Eustachio's in Rome, I believe. On their can, they boast wood fire roasted coffee. So anyways, it's really cool. I got to sit down with him in Portland, Maine, and sit down at a coffee shop and hear his story and find out why he decided to go the route of roasting with wood, because it's definitely more much more labor intensive than a standard coffee roaster with gas. So that's coming up next week on the podcast. Well, maybe not next week. I should say the next podcast. It's coming up there, as well as the coffee scene there in Portland as well. So that's going to be a good podcast for sure. And that's it for today. Again, if you want to check out Amy's website, go to cappuccinomovie.com. That's spelled CAPPUCCINO movie.com. So cappuccino has two P's and two C's in it. And her movie is called The Perfect Cappuccino. So if you go to cappuccinomovie.com, you go there, you check out her blog. You can see she's actually had a lot of success in screenings since we did the interview there back in San Francisco. She's done screenings all over the world. Really, they've seen her movie, and it's really cool, really cool. So go to cappuccinomovie.com, say hello to Amy. She has a little place where you can contact her on there, and yeah, let her know you heard her on the podcast, and check out her blog. She has a blog there. And has a little bio about her and a thing about the film, and you can even buy the film if you want. That would be great. I know she would probably appreciate that. So yeah, check that out, cappuccinomovie.com. And that's it for this week. I'm going to leave you with another Mod Dog tune. This one's called Decisions. And when I listen to this one, I always kind of think of, how should I say, if you're standing in line at the coffee shop and it's just one of those mornings where you can't decide between a double ristretto shot or maybe a nice macchiato, this would be your soundtrack for that morning. So it's another one from Mod Dog, so check it out. And as always, thanks for listening, and until next time, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye. Decide.
side.